Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, we know the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, let him command that light to shine our hearts today, giving us revelation, knowledge, and understanding, opening our ears, O Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church at this time, and give us an understanding heart, O Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Today, part two of our series on prophets, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and walking in the prophetic. That's the full title. It's just that the room space is not long enough to put it all. So it's prophets, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and walking in the prophetic. You know, so we're going to do a quick review of where we left off yesterday. I'm going to continue this series. Yesterday we spoke about various times that God, rebuked the prophets and gave us a warning of how to discern and what to do and so forth. We also spoke about how the Lord referred to Abraham as a prophet, which is contrary to what we might think of today. Scriptures also calls David a prophet. The Lord spoke in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, how he will make himself known unto a prophet in dreams and in visions. You know, now we also saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord gave us the way to know whether someone that speaks in the name of the Lord is speaking from the Lord or not. If the thing that they spoke, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22, did not come to pass, then we know they did not speak from the Lord, because the Lord will never speak anything that will not come to pass. And he gave us that understanding, say, well, you know, this is how you will know that, you know, they're not from the Lord, because they have spoken something which did not come to pass. Therefore, said the Lord said they spoke it presumptuously. He said, don't be afraid of him. But then he goes on in Deuteronomy 13, tell us, but what if it does come to pass? I mean, they say something, it came to pass, but yet, you know, they use, they tag on to that thing to use you to try to detract you from the Lord, just because they showed a sign and a wonder or a miracle, and then, but yet they're leading you away from the Lord. Well, he says, you've got to be careful, because the Lord your God is proving you to know whether you love him with all your heart and so forth. You know, and the dreamer or prophet or dreamer of dreams or seer of visions, you know, or whatever that tries to turn the people away from the Lord, the Lord said, well, it shall not be well with them. In fact, back then he said they should be thrown out and killed. Now in the book of Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 14 to 16, we're told, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, neither commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, a false divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. You know, so this is the word of the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophet who prophesy in my name, but whom I have not sent. The Lord brought, a word of judgment against them. And what does it mean to prophesy in the name of the Lord when the Lord didn't send them? Well, two things. They spoke presumptuously from their own mind. They prophesied lies, the Lord said. But more importantly, we see that that is taking the name of the Lord in vain. He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, when you said the Lord said, and you use his name to say, thus saith the Lord, but the Lord didn't say, then that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Now, we're told in Jeremiah 23 that, look, you know, if you have a dream, tell it. If you have a vision, tell it. If you have a word, tell it. Don't add shaft to it. You know, just tell it as he gave it. Praise the Lord. That's just a lesson and a teaching. It doesn't mean that they are false when they do that. We spoke yesterday that, you know, people, when they start out, they need some training, you know. So, and we also spoke that when God gives a word, you might call it prophecy, you know, it's divinely inspired. But how it is delivered is entirely human. Two different persons may deliver the same message in two different ways. You know, so not to confuse the delivery with the inspiration. Inspiration comes from God. Delivery is human. And people have to use their human understanding or their vocabulary to deliver the message. So it may sound different depending on who it's coming from. Don't worry about the chaff. Just concentrate on the wheat. What is the chaff among the wheat, saith the Lord? So those are the things that we covered yesterday. Today, I want to go a little step further and, you know, realize that there are many, many scriptures in the Bible where God called out against, you know, false prophesying and leading the people astray and so on. And the Lord is not happy about these things. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, we're starting on today's lesson now for real. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read this. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. You know, so right away we see that this scripture is telling us that prophecy may also come out of somebody's own heart. You know, just something that, you know, they know and that they want to say, not exactly what the Lord is inspiring them to say. Thus saith the Lord, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. They have seen nothing. That's what the Lord said. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. They have not gone up into the gaps. They have not made up the hedge for the children of Israel to stand the battle in the day of the Lord. We talked about compassion yesterday. You know, someone purporting to speak in the name of the Lord to people, you know, especially to the body of Christ, you better have compassion in your heart. And I said that yesterday, that if they don't have any compassion, they should be quiet, you know, because this of this scripture here in Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 5. If they don't have compassion, then they will not stand in the gap. But if they do have compassion, their focus will be to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. So the Lord might show us, they may see something negative. Well, what are they supposed to do? Stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That's what they are supposed to do in the day of battle. Win that battle in prayer. You don't even have to open your mouth to say anything. The Lord shows these things so that we can pray. And if someone were to see something negative, well, what should we do? Well, we should pray until you get a release, you know, that it's been averted in the spirit. Now, the Lord said in verse 6 that they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, when the Lord has not sent them. And they have made others to hope that, you know, they will confirm the word. You know, this is serious business. You know, people say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord all the time, but the Lord hasn't said. And sometimes they use, you know, all those things to make merchandise of the people. Have ye not seen a vain vision, saith the Lord? And have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, thus saith the Lord, you know, albeit I have not said it? I mean, look at all these, you know, call out against, you know, using the name of the Lord in vain. That's what it is. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. You know, that's what he said. His hand will be against them. You know, and the judgment of the Lord, you know, say judgment begin at my house. Well, you know, the judgment of the Lord against the prophets that, you know, see vanity and divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people. That means God is going to cut them off. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord God. Well, you know, if the Lord were to act upon this word right now, currently, there will be many, many, many so-called prophets that will be cut off. But we pray for them that the Lord will give them a heart to repent. You know, that they will go back in the closet, get some compassion, and then prophesy good things for the people of God and not try to make merchandise of the people. But again, you know, how do you know that it is not the thing the Lord has said? Just because it's good or bad is not what determines whether it is the word of the Lord or not. Number one, today, by the grace of God, we have the Bible, the written word of God, the Logos. We covered it a couple weeks ago. You know, so back to the law and the testimony. If anybody speak anything and it's not according to this word, then it's because there's no light in them. Now, you know, they may speak anything about themselves, about a situation that doesn't concern us. Well, I'm not worried about it. But if you speak something about something that concerns people of God, then it better line up with the word of God. And it better bring some encouragement. Even when the Lord is rebuking, there's always encouragement with it. You remember the in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the word of the Lord that came to John to write to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor. Remember how, you know, the Lord would come there to each one. He would rebuke them, but yet he would give a word of encouragement. First of all, he would, give acknowledgement for their works, you know, and then he would, when he had a rebuke, he would give a rebuke. But then there's always some encouragement even behind the rebuke. You know, after the rebuke, he would say, well, he that overcometh, you know, and then he would give a tremendous promise. Even the ones that he rebuked so hard, he gave tremendous promise. I mean, like in the book of, for the church of Laodicea, I mean, Jesus had a, a great rebuke. Say, you are blind, you are wretched, you are miserable, you know, and naked and so forth. You know, and it was a miserable review that he had. But yet behind that, he gave a powerful, powerful promise. And he said, he that overcometh, my goodness. Listen, let's actually read it for you to see that we're not saying that the Lord cannot speak rebuke. But we are saying that even when the Lord speaks rebuke, you know, there is always encouragement with it. That's how you can tell whether or not it is from the Lord, you know, and you can study Revelation chapters 2 and 3 on your own. We did that before. But look at the amazing thing that the Lord said in Revelation 3 and 21, you know, after all the counsel of thee to buy of me gold in the fire and all that. After that, you know, he said, look, because you've said you are rich and yet you are, you know, so you've increased yourself with goods. You have need of nothing, but you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I mean, that's a horrible review. But yet he gave a way out. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyes of that thou mayest see. And the Lord told them, look, the reason I rebuke you is because I love you. So even when the rebuke comes in prophecy, if it is accompanied by compassion, you will see that there will be a comforting out of it. That's how you will know that it's from the Lord. You know, the word may not always be good, but even when it stings, there will be a comforting along with it. And the Lord promised them, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then finally gave them an incredible promise. He that overcometh. I mean, this was the worst of those churches. And yet, look at the promise he gave. You know, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm set with my Father in his throne. So we see that, look, you know, even if the word is rebuked, because, you know, scripture is also, Bible says all scripture is, you know, profitable for many things, you know, so is the word of God. You know, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read that, you know, all scripture is given. You take the totality of scripture and put it together as one. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The same way the word of prophecy may come, it may bring inspiration, it may bring reproof, it may bring correction, it may bring instruction, and so forth. But there will always be, you know, some comfort. I mean, God has not given us the spirit of bondage to fear, the spirit of fear that leads us into bondage. Now, any time that prophecy is given, but it leads to fear, and or even the intent is to put fear into the people's heart to bring them to captivity, it's not from the Lord. You know, it's tantamount to witchcraft, because witchcraft is a way of trying to control people by what you do or you say to them. You know, so, you know, it's, you know, that's not from the Lord. But we need to have our senses exercised to be able to discern these things. So how do we discern these things? You know, so somebody says, you know, the Lord has said, what if the Lord has not said? You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, we're told, you know, in verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil, both good and evil. Now, real discernment and the gift of discerning of spirits, that's different from just discernment. Discernment can be learned, but the gift of discerning of spirits is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's given. You know, but that gift can discern good and bad. Angels at work, good and bad spirits at work. Because they discern of spirits. What spirit is behind the thing? And it can tell the difference between what looks so real, you know, versus the real thing. So real discernment, you know, can be thought of as not just to understand the difference between good and evil, but to be able to understand the difference between, you know, real and almost real, good and almost good, you know, and put a little enough in it to be dangerous, you know, and half truths and all those things, they can really be very, very dangerous. Now, you know, so, but for you to protect yourself and your mind, you've got to yourself know the scriptures to the law and the testimony, Isaiah 8 and 20. If you hear anything that's not according to the word, then get away from it, because there's no light in it. But in order for you to know that it's not according to the word, you must know the word yourself. Praise the Lord. I wanted to tell us, I said I would tell a few stories today of situations where some people had opportunity to discern the spirit at work, but they did not, you know, and then the Lord showed us some things that were happening, you know, behind the scenes. First of these stories, you know, and also how do you tell when, you know, when a lot of people are saying the same thing, but yet they might be wrong, you know? So there are these stories that I want us to consider. The first one is this story in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 13. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 13, I'm just going to paraphrase the story. The story of the young prophet that the Lord sent to go and prophesy against an altar and to do this and that. And when he had done it, just like it said, the Lord told him, when you're done, you know, don't turn aside to eat anywhere. Don't turn aside to visit anybody. You know, you come straight back. And so when he was done prophesying against the altar, just like the Lord directed him, the king, and there was even a, you know, there was a sign and a wonder that happened even at that time. And the king saw it. And the king said, wow, this must be a man of God. So let me bring him into my house. So he approached the man and invited him to come to the house. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. He even promised him a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, even if you give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that you will eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again, you know, on the wayside here, but, you know, and so forth. But you must return the way that you came. Now, we see that the young prophet, we were never told his name, he was able to, you know, quickly, was able to still stay with the word of God and quickly separate himself from an invitation that would have taken him contrary to the commandment that he received. And why was this? Well, he had his antennas up. That's the way I call it. He had discernment because the king, you know, was just a king. He wasn't a person of God. So, you know, it was easy for this young prophet to say, well, you know, I'm not falling for that because you're not speaking to me the word which the Lord already spoke. But then we see a tragic ending of this story. But in that same place, there was an old prophet. Now, this one, you know, was also a prophet like this young man, but more experienced, older, more renowned, perhaps. And when his sons came and told him of all the works that that young man of God did, the man asked him, where is he? You know, and they told him where he went. So he said, well, saddle me and us. So he went and looked for him. And then when he came after and found the man of God sitting under an oak, well, first of all, there's many things wrong with this story, right? Many things. But there are just an aspect that I want to bring out. But while we're at it, let's bring out all the things that are wrong with this story. This man should have moved on and returned by the way he came. Why are you still sitting under an oak tree? But in any case, when the older prophet came to him, he said, oh, I heard all the things that you did today, you know, and he said this, you know, gave the man the same invitation that the king had given him before. And he said to him, you know, come back home with me and so forth, you know, and the man said, no, I will not come with you because, you know, it was told me that I should not do this, I should not do that. Said the same thing again. And the man asked him, are you the prophet that did this? And they say, yeah. He said, come home with me. He said, no, the Lord told me not to do that. But then the man, see, here's the thing though. The older prophet then said to him, he said, look, I am a prophet just like you are. You know, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink. But he lied unto him. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you see the extent to which people can lie to try to give, you know, validity to what they are saying? He said, an angel spoke to me. You know, I heard from the Lord. I saw from the Lord. I heard the voice of God. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, all kinds of things. I've even heard people saying the headstone spoke to me, this and this and that, you know. But what is it exactly that the so-called word said to you? It was a lie. He just wanted to get to this young man. You know, maybe, you know, people like to associate themselves with someone that's doing something great. Maybe the ministry of the old prophet was declining, you know, so he wanted to associate himself with this young man that just cried against the altar and the altar burned down and all the miracles he did and so forth. You know, someone, you know, tried to stretch for their hand, you know, to grab him and so on. You know, I mean, all the things, you know, that he said, and he, the man who tried to grab him, his hand withered up and so on and so forth. And the altar was rent. The fire came upon it. I mean, there was drama. So this old prophet might have wanted to associate himself with the young prophet. But he lied unto him. And this man, young prophet, let his guard down because it is an older, bigger brother, more experienced prophet that's speaking. So people let their guards down. Same thing that they do on this app here. Wonderful app, this Clubhouse. But you can grow, you can go from place to place on this app and you can find a lot. I don't do that anymore, go to these places. But when I first joined the app, trying to figure out, you know, where I belong, you know, back then about 3 or more years ago, or 4 years, I would just go here and there. I see a room. I also like to visit the prophetic rooms. So when I say prophetic something, something, oh, I say, oh, cool. And I will go there. And then, you know, I will probably last all about 5 or 10 minutes there before I realize that, you know, these people are just trying to make merchandise of the people. You know, I love the prophetic, you know. And so when you tell me prophetic, hey, you know, I want to hear it. But when I get there and I find out they're just, number one, selling their gift, trying to make merchandise of the people or promoting themselves, you know, I just get away from there. This is not from the Lord. You know, but a lot of people are drawn to those things. Why? Because they believe that these are men and women of God, you know, so they let their guard down. There's no discernment because, you know, I mean, and maybe the man had given them some prophecy before or is able to discern and tell them something about their life, which you may tell them. Yeah. Sometimes they call out the people. They tell them, you know, this, you live in this city, you live on this street, blah, 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 blah. They tell them all kinds of things. You remember, he said, it might show you a sign and a wonder and the thing come to pass. Might actually tell you something that's a fact. You know, but there is yet a spirit behind it. The spirit behind all that is to gain their confidence and walk their way into their wallets. You know, once they gain their confidence, the next thing you're going to hear is that, you know, if you know, depending on the size of miracle you want, you know, that's going to determine the size of, offering, seed faith, or all these things that you must give on a miracle this size. It's kind of like an auction, the auctioning of the miracles of God. You want this kind of miracle? Well, your seed is going to be 500. You want this other kind of miracle? It's going to be 1,000 and so on and so forth. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. But people fall for this stuff because they think that these people are men of God, and maybe they spoke something to them before. And so they are drawn in, you know, they're drawn in. But you need to have your antennas up. Just because someone says, I'm a prophet, and just because they say, you know, the Lord spoke to me or an angel spoke to me, or even if they show you a sign that is even looks like it's real, but yet their ways don't line up, you know. And their ways don't line up with the word of God. Get away from it. You know, don't be deceived by that stuff. Now, there are some true men and women of God. It's not everybody that's on this platform that's false. You know, but the true ones will always direct you to the Lord. They're not going to direct you to themselves. You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he comes, he will testify of me. You know, so when anybody say, I have the Holy Spirit, and their testimony is not of Christ, but it's of themselves, well, you get away from that. Because that's not the Holy Spirit. That's just their own mind promoting themselves. You know, Jesus is not about promotion and all these other things. In fact, I've read this scripture multiple times, Luke 16 and 15. The things that are highly exalted among men, they are an abomination in the sight of God. All these prophet, title, pastor, this and that, you know, that we exalt, you know. It's rubbish before the Lord, you know, but God has some true prophets, and he does have some true pastors and so forth. I will give you pastors that are after my own heart. I will feed the people with the true word of God and knowledge. I mean, so God did that too. And he does that. But you got to be careful. This young prophet wasn't careful. He let his guard down and the man deceived him. He lied unto him. Now, when he lied unto him, you know, was he a false prophet? Well, in the moment, yeah. You know, was he tagged as a false prophet all his life? No. So we see that, you know, a real prophet may sometimes become false if they don't stay with the word of God, you know, or for whatever ulterior motive that's in their heart. And especially when people want to control others or gather people around themselves, the gift can quickly become witchcraft. I have seen that so many times, you know. Now, when they went home, this young prophet followed the older prophet home. And as they sat at meal, the real word of the Lord now came to the older prophet. So you see, you know, they might prophesy lies at one time and they might also have the word of God. So the real word of God now came to the man, the older prophet that deceived this man and said to him, you know, for as much as you have disobeyed the voice of the Lord, wherein the Lord told you not to return or eat or drink or so on, and because you have done this, and he said, the Lord is angry with you and judgment is upon you, and your carcass, you will not make it home. Your carcass will fall by the wayside. Now, this was the man that deceived him, and the same man now is bringing judgment against him. And so you see that this is a very sad story. But it started by the man, the young prophet, you know, not staying with the word of God. Lord already told you something. Stay with that. Don't let somebody else come and derail you from it. You know, he didn't stay with it because he respected the older prophet and let his guard down. And unfortunately, the saddest part of this story was that the young prophet did not repent. Every time I read this story and talk about it, I always like to talk about that part. I don't know why it is that some people don't repent when the Lord calls out things in their life. I mean, they don't repent. This man did not repent. Adam and Eve did not repent. He just found some excuses. Yeah, you woman that gave me this one that did this, this one that did that. Instead of repenting, they did not repent. Now, this young prophet did not repent. I guarantee you that if he had fallen upon the face of the Lord, I mean, the face of the ground and come to the Lord, I mean, put his face on the ground, come to the Lord and ask for mercy, God would have had mercy on him. But he didn't. He just took it like that. And of course, a lion met him and slew him. You know, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, someone that was sent to do work from the Lord and did all these great things. And look at the tragic ending. And you know, the lion wasn't hungry because it's too right. The donkey was there. The lion could have attacked the donkey. The lion would rather go for the donkey, but he didn't. He attacked the man and he sat right there with the donkey. Sat right there with the man. Didn't do anything. When the older prophet came, the lion was still there. Didn't attack that one either. I mean, so you see that it was a hand of the Lord, a judgment that came upon me because he did not stay with the word of the Lord. A very, very tragic story, but he should have repented and the Lord would have had mercy upon him. You know, I believe that with all my heart, you know, because, you know, no matter how wicked someone is in their ways, when they do repent, you know, the Lord can have mercy upon them. We've seen that story, you know, in the life of Ahab and Jezebel. You know, they were the most wicked couple, king and wife in Israel. They did all kinds of evil abominably. The Bible says he did very abominably in following idols. He did all the things that all the Amorites and all these people did. You know, 1 Kings chapter 21, let's read it. You know, he did wickedness, you know, verse 25 of 1 Kings 21 says, but there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to walk wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things that the Amorites and all these people did, which the Lord cast out. And it came to pass that this man, Elijah, came to him Elijah said, and he found him. And the man said, "Have you found me, oh my enemy?" Elijah said, "Yeah, I found you." You know, and then Elijah began to bring prophecy against him. You know, he said, "Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and cut off from Ahab him that pissed against the wall, and him that said, shut up, and I will make your house like a dunghill, like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and I will make your house like Bashar, the son." I mean, the provocation you provoked me, you made Israel to sin. I'm going to bring all this evil. And of Jezebel, your wife, the dog shall eat her by the wall of Jezreel. And he that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and dieth in the field, the fowls of the air. I mean, Elijah just brought all these harsh pronunciations against Ahab. But remember, the Bible said there was none like Ahab, none wicked like him. But it came to pass when Ahab heard all those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and walked softly before the Lord. He just, you know, he said, wow, you know, I mean, you look, he was remorseful. And the Lord looked at him, you know, and this was the most wicked person, most wicked king. And the Lord looked at him and said, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite again, say, seest thou how this Ahab has humbled himself before me? He said, well, because he humbled himself before me, you know, I will not bring this evil. I'm going to bring this evil nonetheless, because, you know, they are deserving of it. But I'm not going to bring it in his taste. I'm going to, you know, lend the lengthening of a little bit of his tranquility. You know, and the Lord pushed the can down the road, so to speak, kicked it down the road. The Lord pushed the judgment down the road because this man trembled at the word of the Lord. Now, that tells you that, look, even when prophecy comes that is judgmental, that is to bring evil, if people repent, the Lord will have mercy. Classic story, the story of Jonah and Nineveh. Now, Jonah didn't want to do it because he didn't want the Lord to forgive them. But when he went, you know, throughout the city and said, yet 40 days and the Lord will, you know, will destroy this place. And the king and everybody heard it. Those who heard it, they went and told the king, look, there's a man going here prophesying these things. And when they heard it, every one of them, from because of the decree of the king, all the way down, you know, the king said to them, look, you know, he said, let it be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Let no man eat, neither man nor beast nor herd of the flock, taste anything. Let them not feed, let them not drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every man from his evil ways and from the violence of that is in their hands. Who can tell? Perhaps God will repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. I mean, their response was repentance. That was their response. And God saved that city. So I believe with all my heart that even when prophecy comes and it's judgmental, you know, people can repent. And nobody should ever bring a prophecy of judgment and say there's no need to pray against it. There's always prayer. Prayer is always recommended. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I, the Lord, will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I mean, there's always a promise there, you know. So we should never say, oh, you know, it's going to come to pass anyway. You don't need to pray. You know, then, you know, if we don't, that shows no compassion at all. And if that's the kind of prophecy, you know, that a person wants to bring, well, maybe they need to go back to the closet and pray some more and ask for some compassion. You know. Yeah. So, you know, any time that the Lord will bring judgment against a place, a people, a nation, and even an individual, if they cry unto the Lord, there's always mercy. You know, there's always mercy from the Lord. The Lord has always said that in the scriptures. So let's bear that in mind. So that was the story of a young prophet and how it ended badly for him. You know, now in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, I want to read something quickly to us before we move on to the next story. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse, let me start about verse 7. Here's a story. Here's something the Lord said. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, right? And pull it down and to destroy it. If that nation, well, or even an individual, against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I taught to do to them. It's clearly here in the scriptures. So if you don't know this verse, learn it. Jeremiah 18 will tell you there is always room for repentance. No matter how horrible the prophecy came, God said, look, I prophesy. When I prophesy against a nation, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to pluck them out. I'm going to wipe them off from the face of the earth and so forth because of their iniquities. If that nation against whom I have pronounced this evil turn from their evil. Yeah, then the Lord said, well, I myself would turn from the evil that I thought to do to them. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's in the scriptures. And, you know, on the contrary, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it up, to plant it, to bless it and do all these things. You know, if that nation do evil in my sight and obey not my voice, then I myself will repent from the good wherewith I thought to do to them. And, you know, I won't do that good. Well, America, the Lord loves this nation just like Israel. You know, it was in his heart to bless this nation. You know, this nation was founded upon the truth. In God we trust. It's on the American dollar and all these things. And many of the things, many of the forefathers, you know, they were praying people. Well, you know, the Lord thought to bless this nation, you know, but this nation unfortunately has turned its back against the Lord. But there is still hope, you know. Hope because we live here. Many of us live here in this nation. We must pray, you know, pray for the city, pray for the nation where you live. The scripture says, where there is peace, you shall have peace. We pray that the Lord will give us leaders whose hearts will turn toward righteousness, you know. And if we have praying leaders and different things like that, we have praying saints too. Pray for this country. Pray for the country where you live in. Pray for the country where you belong and so on and so forth. But I venture. The Lord will have mercy. So we should never say we shouldn't pray. We must always pray. You know, because the Lord can avert it if he so pleases him. All right. So that's one story. But let's talk about other stories about discernment. The story, the lesson in that story of that young prophet was he did not use discernment because he let his guard down just because he was a big prophet or a big man of God that was talking to him. So don't let your guard down just because they are renowned. They may be a renowned world prophet. They may be a tele-evangelist. They may be anything. You know, to the law and the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, that's it. That's your litmus test right there. Then get away from it. It's that simple. Now, there are some other stories in this Bible that I want to tell. A couple more stories that I want to tell. You know, remember in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe Deuteronomy chapter 19, we are told that, you know, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, let every word be fulfilled. And even, you know, even the Lord and many other in the New Testament, they even quoted this thing. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 19, I believe verse 15 says, you know, don't bring an accusation against somebody except they have two or three witnesses. Say, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be fulfilled. Jesus himself said that. You know, so, well, what does that mean then with respect to these next stories that we are going to read? Whereas the Lord already said by the mouth of two or three witnesses, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says the same thing, even in the New Testament, you know, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we know that. Now that means that, you know, you can actually confirm, you know, the word that is being spoken by two or three people. That's what it means. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, in chapters 14 and so forth, he talks about, you know, how people should do prophecy. When you prophesy, you say, well, let them speak in order, two by three and so forth, and let the others judge. You know, so the matter of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. It's all over the scriptures. So bear that in mind when we read these next stories. I mean, all you need is two or three people to confirm the word and it's settled. The Bible itself says that. You know, so well, let's read this story. There is this story in 1 Kings chapter 22. In 1 Kings chapter 22, we see that this man Ahab wants to go to war. You know, remember, they always have the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Well, most of the time, the kings of Israel were evil. For the most part, the kings of Judah did okay before the Lord. Now, at this particular time, Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. And Ahab was king over Israel. So, one time, Jehoshaphat visited Ahab, and they both sat on their thrones. And Ahab said to him, well, you are my brother, are you not? Will you go to war with me, you Ramoth Gilead? I got to go fight some of these battles and so forth. Jehoshaphat said, cool. I'll go with you, but let's inquire from the Lord, you know, whether we should go or not, you know. And, so he said, okay, cool. Bring forth my prophets. You know, I remember they're about to go to war. It's a good thing to inquire from the Lord whether we should go. Jehoshaphat knew that. He learned that from David, his great-great-grandfather. So he said, they brought all these prophets that came. They gathered together 400 men. 400 men. Now, all you need is two or three. You don't need 400. Just need three. Now, 400 people came there and said, you know, so the king of Israel asked them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle or shall I forbear? Now, every last one of those 400 prophets said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, you only need three people, but you have 400 confirming. That should have settled it forever in the heart of Jehoshaphat, but he did not. This Jehoshaphat man is like, you know, he had something, you know, I don't trust I don't trust all these prophets, you know, and he said, well, is there not a prophet of the Lord's beside that we may inquire of him? I mean, what do you mean? That's already 400 people confirming the same thing. You know, so there was something inside the heart of this Jehoshaphat that made him to see beyond, you know, the stuff that this prophecy from the other, I mean, 400 prophets were. When they said, well, go up, the Lord will, you know, who deliver it. Now, of course, Jehoshaphat was reluctant anyway. Didn't really want to do it. So he said, well, you know, let's see if there's somebody else. How many people do you need after 400 people have confirmed it? So he said, well, you know, and so the king of Israel says, well, there's one man. His name is Micaiah, son of Imla. You know, but I don't like him. And he doesn't like me either. He always prophesies evil about me. Never prophesy anything good. So, you know, the king of Judah says to him, well, let not, the king say that. You know, call him. Let's hear from him anyway. So he said, well, so they both sat down. So So they sent somebody to go and call this Micaiah fellow. So the person that went to call him tells him, the king wants you, but here's the deal. Here's what's going down. The king has inquired of his prophets whether he should go to battle and such a place. Now, the word of the prophets were that he should go and that he will prosper, and the Lord will deliver into his hand. So he said to the man, make sure that your word is like one, the word of these prophets. And this man promptly said, Micaiah promised, said, I will do no such thing. I'm not going to align myself with anybody just because the whole world is saying it. See, that's the thing. You know, if you have 400 people saying something, are you still able to go up against them if it is contrary to what the whole world is doing something now? And the whole world is going to rush towards the Antichrist system, you know, but the elect of God, who will be here through the first part of that, will you be able to stand? Will you be able to say no? Just because the whole world is doing it. Now, everybody, a lot of people think that just because everybody is doing something or everybody is saying something, that makes it right. Well, this story tells us otherwise. 400 people. Yet this man said, no, I'm not going to align myself with them just because they all said the same thing. I'm going to say whatever the Lord puts in my mouth. So he gets there. The king asks him, well, here's the deal. We're thinking of going to Ramoth Gilead for battle. Shall we go or shall we forbear? The man said, well, yeah, go. Lord, give it your hand. It says it with a, you know, tongue-in-cheek kind of way. But the way and the attitude of which he said it, the king said, look, how many times have I told you? Just tell me. You know, don't tell me anything. But what the Lord has said, he said, well, you can't handle the truth. You want the truth? Well, here is the truth. You know, if you want me to tell you, I will tell you. I saw all Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And I also saw the Lord, you know, having a council in heaven. And this story is so powerful. It revealed something to me years ago when I got the revelation. I actually realized that, my goodness, God can do stuff like this. And not just for evil. This story was for evil, but God can do it, and he's doing it for good as well. God can have a council meeting. In this case, he had a council meeting, and he said, who's going to go down there and persuade Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? And everybody, you know, one person said this and that and so forth. And a spirit, we don't know which, what kind of spirit it was, whether good or bad. But the spirit came, I'm thinking it's a bad spirit because you talk about lying. And the spirit came and said, I will go. He said, you know, what are you going to do? He said, well, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So a lying spirit can influence just more than one person. You can jump on someone's shoulder, jump on the next one, be in their mouth, 400 of them. And the Lord said, well, yeah, go and do it. Now, by reading that story, we see, and I've now come to understand, that the Lord may also look and say, for good now, who's going to go down there and see to it that what my daughter is believing for and what my son is believing for comes to pass? And well, you know, those angels of the Lord are waiting for you to speak the word of God. They say, well, I'll go down there. They say, well, what are you going to do? I say, well, as soon as they pronounce my word, I'll see to it. Pronounce your word. They say, well, go down there and see to it. Make sure what she's believing comes to pass. You know, so God can do that. And he is actually doing it. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen, he's doing that. And so Micaiah begins to bring forth what he saw in a vision, how the Lord, you know, has this thing. And then this, how this lying spirit, and he said, look, I guarantee you, the Lord has put this lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets that they would tell you a lie. Now, you know, that's an amazing thing, because how in the world can 400 people tell a lie? I mean, well, they can, and they did. And only one person against 400. And he said, look, you're not going to prosper in this thing. You know, so because the Lord already showed me that Israel has no shepherd. So that means no king. You will not prosper. You will die. And then the king was angry, and he said, well, go put him in prison until I return. You know, you know, and then I said, you know, and then there was this, you know, prophet, you know, and he was a chief. You might think of him as a chief of the 400 prophets, right? Chief prophet called Zedekiah. So he came near and smote this Micaiah on the cheek. I mean, who in the world do you think you are? I mean, we have spoken the word of the Lord. Who are you to even come out here and even say anything? And you know, we see this behavior in the church today and elsewhere. You know, those who think of themselves as something, they look down on others. They say, "Well, we are the prophets of the Lord. Who are you? You don't belong. You can't speak." And they put them out. You know. One time they put out a man, you know, that Jesus healed, the man that was blind from his mother's womb. That, you know, that story. And then Jesus healed him. And they were telling me, you know, who made you well, on, you know, and so forth. And he started to tell them. And they said, well, that man cannot be a prophet because he has done the wrong thing. He can't heal on the Sabbath day. You know, you have all the days of the world, you know, in a week to be healed. On the Sabbath day, don't be healed. You know, he said, look, well, and the man said, wow, my goodness. Here is a wonderful thing that you should say that this man is a sinner. Because since the world began, have we not heard that a man would, you know, open the eyes of one that was born blind? And they said, who are you? Are you going to teach us, you who are born altogether in sin? And they put him out of there. You know. It's like, look, we are the chief priests. We are the Sanhedrin. We are the this and that. You are now going to tell us something, you who are born in sin. Get out of here. They kick him out of the temple. Well, the same thing here. You know, it's like this prophet, chief prophet came and slapped every, what we call, Nigeria, we call it dirty slap. Gave him a dirty slap, you know, across the face. And he said, who in the world, you know, who do you think yourself, you know, you don't speak when we are here. And then he's, you know, did all kinds of things. And the man said, okay, fine. And then he's, you know, so he said, Micaiah said to him, well, you will see in that day when you will be ashamed. And so the king said, well, take him and put him in prison until I return. I'm feeding with the bread of affliction. And Micaiah said, if you return at all, because the man said, if I return in peace, until I return in peace. And the man said, look, no, if you return at all, then the Lord has not spoken by me. Glory to God. You know, and of course, the man went and he died in the battle. Yeah. Jehoshaphat almost got himself killed too, you know. Now, you know, this also teaches us, there's a side lesson in here too. Don't fight side by side along the enemies of the Lord. You might almost get yourself killed. Jehoshaphat almost got himself killed. But anyway, let me leave that alone because, you know, so I can concentrate on this story. So that's how that story went. 400 people and the chief prophet against one man. You know, so there you have it. You know, how can you stand? I mean, this Micaiah, I mean, he heard all the prophecies against Ahab by, you know, Elijah and so forth. And he knew that, look, you can't do it. You know, the word of the Lord is against you. And all these other people prophesy. We have these political prophets today that must prophesy good because they, you know, they want to, you know, have a good standing, you know, in the kingdom and stuff like that. So they prophesy, you know, good. Oh, you know, this great thing is going to happen to the nation and so forth. Well, if the Lord has prophesied evil, then let the prophet who speaks good, well, we will know about it when his word comes to pass. So we find that a similar story like that, you know, that the last of these stories I want to tell today is this one I just told is Micaiah versus Zedekiah and the 400 prophets. But there is also Jeremiah versus Hananiah in Jeremiah 28. Something similar happened. Jeremiah was a man that was always prophesying the captivity that the children of Israel will go to. They will be carried away to Babylon and so forth. But you must go with the king of Babylon. You must submit yourself to him. And, you know, God will save you and he will bring you back. But if you refuse to go, you will be killed and you will die. Now, that didn't sound good, so people didn't like it. But Jeremiah, he stood with the word of the Lord. So in this Jeremiah 28, we will see where there was, you know, another confrontation. And this time around, Jeremiah always prophesying the evil, and the political prophets coming around and prophesying something different. And another drama ensued, you know. And one person actually went so far, you know, this other prophet went so far as to, you know, take and do some drama. Hananiah was his name. You know, he took some yoke, some iron and some things and broke it and said, "Thus saith the Lord, within 2 full years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Israel, Babylon, had taken away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'll bring them again to this place and I will do all of these things and all the captives and so on." Now that actually sounds good, but that was not the word of the Lord. Jeremiah had prophesied that 70 years, you know, they're going to be in that captivity 70 years. That's the story that Daniel read. You know, and this prophet, he said all these things. So Jeremiah, you know, nobody liked Jeremiah in his day because of the word he said. But he said, "Look, this is the way that God's going to save you. This is evil is predetermined. But you go and the Lord will bring you back. But if you don't go, you will die in this place. If you don't submit yourself to the king of Babylon, you will die." So nobody liked that. It didn't sound popular. So this Hananiah, you know, said these things, and the prophet Jeremiah just looked at him. He said, "Well, amen. Now let the Lord perform thy words. But nevertheless, let me tell you this, you know, that I speak now in your ears and all these people, the prophets that have been before me and you." So that's another way, you know, the word of God that we've had has told us this and that. That's another way to check and see what someone is doing, you know, or saying. "The prophets that have been before you and me spoke evil concerning this place and so forth, prophesied evil against these countries and all of these and so on. Now, when another prophet comes and prophesies peace, whereas the other prophets prophesied evil, well, when the word of that prophet shall come to pass, that prophet shall be known." This is exactly what God told us in Deuteronomy chapter 18. "You prophesy a thing, comes to pass, and you'll be known." And so Ananiah took the yoke of the prophet's neck because God had told him to put his yoke on his neck. He said, "Look, put your yoke on your head these many days and years because, you know, this is the yoke that will be upon the children of Israel," and so on, acting out the vision. And, the Lord put a word in Jeremiah's mouth against Ananiah the prophet. And he told him, "Well, the Lord has not sent you, but you are making these people to trust in a lie." You know, so, and he said, "I will cut you off." And so Hananiah died in the same year, in the seventh month, just like the prophet Jeremiah said. Now, in this case, we see that, you know, Jeremiah's defense or what he was standing upon was, look, this is what the Lord of the Lord has said that was verified before. If you come out and say something different, well, we'll just wait and see if your word is true. You know, so now that brings me to part of the lesson of discernment. You know, if someone stands up and prophesies something that you're not sure about, what should you do? Well, it may be something that brings peace. It may be something that brings evil. But you also have to use wisdom. I've said it before that if we're in the congregation and the assembly and somebody gets up and says, "Thus saith the Lord, this building is going to collapse in the next 15 minutes. Well, if I'm in that building, I'm going to go outside, you know, because I don't want the thing to collapse upon my head. But then I'm going to watch. Now, if that building does not collapse in the next 15 minutes, just like the man said, then we know that his word did not come to pass and the Lord did not send it. But if you stay there and the thing does collapse, it will collapse on your head. And then you will die. You know, so sometimes we have to use wisdom like that. And it's okay. The Bible allows it. It said, look, wait and see if it comes to pass. And if it doesn't come to pass, then you know the Lord hasn't sent it. But there may be times that you have to remove yourself from the position of danger while you're waiting for the thing to see whether it will come to pass or not. You know, so that's just a wisdom, by the way. But anyway, those are the stories I wanted to tell us today. You know, and today's lesson is still about prophets. You know, how prophets may speak something in the name of the Lord that the Lord didn't say. You know, and bringing it to today, there's a lot of people today that say, thus saith the Lord. Well, because they say, thus saith the Lord, has the Lord actually said, just because someone said, thus saith the Lord? Now, tomorrow, I'll be talking about prophecy some more. Some people think that, you know, as long as you say, thus saith the Lord, that makes it prophecy. You know, a lot of, well, it could be prophecy, but it could be prophecy of the heart. It could be vain and lying divinations. People say a lot of things in their mind. You know, I hear a lot of believers also tell me, you know, the Lord told them, the Lord told them, the Lord told them. Everybody says that. Well, maybe the Lord did tell them. Maybe so. And that's fine. If it's a personal thing, I don't even contend it. But it's between them and God. But if you come to the church or you say something that concerns us as a group and tell us that the Lord told you something, then we're going to check it. As an individual, if you tell me the Lord told you to do some crazy, weird thing, I'm not even going to sweat my head. It's none of my concern. The Lord could have told you to do it. You know, but, you know, when it comes to how God deals with his people, we're going to line that thing up against the word of God. If it's not according to the word, it's not according to the light, we'll throw it out. Might throw you out with it as well. You know, so we've got to stay with the word of God. To the law and the testimony all the time. You know, and let us also learn to not take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't say the Lord said when he hasn't said. You know, and there are many times that we do say that. The Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. Maybe the Lord actually did tell you. But if the Lord told you something and it's not according to the word of the Lord, or if you say the Lord told you something that is not according to the word of the Lord, then you better be careful, because God's not going to go up against his word. And if you try to make God change his word because there's something in your heart and you're trying to make God line up with what's in your heart, he might kill you for it. There's a story about Balaam in Numbers 22 and 23. God told him not to do something. You can't curse the children of Israel. He wanted to do it anyway, because of a lot of promise of wealth and this and that. And he kept asking God. And God said, I already told you. You can't do it. And he kept asking God. And God said, fine. Go do it. But in the way, the angel was trying to kill him. So, ladies and gentlemen, you don't try to make God change his word. He might kill you for it. The word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. We are the ones that will line up with his word, not the other way around. Okay, to wrap up today's lesson about prophets, you've seen that not everyone that says the Lord told me or thus said the Lord is speaking from the Lord. There may even be 400 prophets. There may be a lot of people, you know, but that doesn't necessarily make it right just because of the numbers. You know, if it's not according to the word of the Lord, it's still not right, no matter whether it's millions of people. So that's the lesson for today. Now, that kind of wraps up the lesson about prophets. Remember, this series is as many flavors that we want to cover. We're going to cover prophets, which we have. We're going to cover prophecy and the gift of prophecy. You know, perhaps we'll do that tomorrow by the grace of God. And then at the end of this series, the ultimate is walking in the prophetic. What does that mean? We'll cover that. So tomorrow, by God's grace, we will cover prophecy and the gift of prophecy. What is prophecy and what is the gift of prophecy? We're going to cover that tomorrow by the grace of God. I am done here today. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to yield my mic. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your people, for everyone that's been here to listen. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Thank you for the word of God that we have heard today. We ask, O Lord, that you enrich our hearts, you open our understanding to understand these things, what the Lord is saying to us. Hallelujah. And may we not be among those that would take the name of the Lord in vain, to say the Lord has said when he hasn't said, or to use the name of the Lord to try to deceive people when the Lord has not said. Behold, I am against them, saith the Lord, for they have taken my name in vain, and I will push them out and cut them out from my people. They shall have no place anymore to walk among these. Praise God. The Lord said he will cut them off. He said that in the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You know, cut these people off. But we pray, Lord, that we will stand, we'll be in right standing with the word of God, to the law and the testimony all the time. May the grace of God be with everyone that's listening in and those that will listen on later. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.